Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is from John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. If you've been like me the last couple of weeks, you've not been sleeping well. And you've been doing a lot of time praying and thinking about what good is coming out of this. I woke up this morning a little before 4, and I couldn't get out of my own head, so I just decided to turn on the news and watch, which probably doesn't make things better. And then I heard the most amazing news. A newscaster said, "Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, or Christians do. It is a season of hope." And he went on to say the most amazing thing I ever heard come out of a reporter's mouth. He said, "It's about the cross of Christ, and that is a non-negotiable. Either you believe it or you don't." I wanted to hug that man. And social distancing wise, I did. What a clear proclamation from somebody on the news. And for the next 10 minutes, all three reporters on that channel spoke about their faith in Jesus Christ. There's something good coming out of this after all. Now to our text. You see, since the fall of Adam and Eve, today begins the most important week in the history of the world. And I'm not talking 2020 and COVID-19 week, but Palm Sunday Holy Week. To give you the background leading into this week, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus and Lazarus had been in Bethany, and Martha had served them a meal, and a woman named Mary comes in and anoints Jesus' feet with a pound of ointment of pure nard and wipes his feet with her hair. And this clear picture of humble service upsets Judas because he wanted the money for himself, as we learn from the Gospels. And the ointment was worth around, 300 days' work, 300 denarii, which is almost as much as our stimulus package. No. A year's wages. It's much more than that. The check we're all waiting for from the government. Now with Jesus and Lazarus in the same place, the Jews are coming out of the woodwork to see Jesus because just a few miles away, he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and you couldn't claim that that was something that happened long, far away. Now there were witnesses and people to talk about it. I mean, Lazarus had been stinking dead, 4 days dead, and no one had ever raised anybody 4 days dead. This causes the chief priests not only to want Jesus dead, but they want to kill poor Lazarus. Now, our text. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and you can imagine the scene. As many of the Jewish people are making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate Palm Sunday, Holy Week, typically in Jerusalem, the city would swell to 250,000. As Jesus approaches Jerusalem, people take palm branches and go out to meet him, greeting him with shouts of "Hosanna," or "Save us." "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." This would remind the Old Testament hearer of Psalm 118, which is the last of the Hallel Psalms that is a commonly prayed at morning prayer and would have been spoken by those ascending into Jerusalem for this festival. The crowd is quoting from Psalm 118, verses 24 through 28. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon his So shine upon us, bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. These people believed that Jesus was their king. Many knew of Jesus raising Lazarus. No wonder they are praising Jesus. Just listen as 4th century Bishop Athanasius speaks of this text. When the crowd took palm branches from the date palms and went before Christ as he was about to go up to the feast, all of them bore witness that he had called Lazarus forth from the grave and had raised him from the dead. Because of this, this great throng believed on him. When they heard that he had done this sign, for all the people had come out to the tomb before they buried him and closed the mouth of the tomb. A great wonder seized them all when they heard that he was alive again. A great wonder. Add to this the shouts of, "Lord, save us," or "Hosanna." The people were laying their clothing on the ground, which was an ancient act of homage to a king, and waving their palm branches, a sign of celebration by the people. Something you can still see today in Israel and Palestine. At weddings and other festal events, the shouts of Hosanna, which means "Lord, save us," is a cry for the deliverance of the people. What's going?
There has been a complaint about the gathering of the group, and it apparently is against the governor's order. The police are here.
I have the laws, 10 or fewer in a room.
Police are here with a different document and asking us to evacuate the building for now.
Everybody?
Than those who are conducting the
service. Okay. Thank you, Dave. So sorry. Jesus is fulfilling yet another prophecy here, which was foretold by the prophet Zechariah. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. He is humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus rides into Jerusalem on this donkey, and it was necessary, just as it was necessary for Jesus to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. So it is throughout Jesus' ministry. "Go and tell John what you see and what you've heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." Just as it will be on Good Friday, as Jesus has already taught. "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." Jesus is fulfilling all that is necessary for our salvation. For Jesus is on his way to answering every cry of Hosanna throughout time. Knowing what he is going to do in Jerusalem, that he is going to die and on the third day rise again, Jesus doesn't sneak in. He triumphantly rides in. To the displeasure of the Pharisees who are wanting him dead, as they say to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." If only the Pharisees were correct. Instead of following Jesus as they should have, the Pharisees seek to shame Jesus for the response he is receiving. In Luke records, "And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" You see, the theology of glory is quick. It's quick to spark and equally quick to die out. Just look at the disciples. Jesus had raised the dead. Let us follow him. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Jesus is arrested and crucified, and we can see ourselves right in Peter in his own flesh as we too deny our Lord. Oh, how we love the triumphal Jesus, but the whole take up your cross and follow me, Jesus, isn't for everyone. We do this all the time when our conscience bothers us and we are left in despair by our sins. But we then first hear the gospel. That is, for Jesus' sake, our sins are forgiven and we can rejoice. And we can't hear it enough. But then life gets busy and our conscience gets silenced and our sins don't seem to bother us as much as they used to. And soon the hearing of the gospel seems much less important and our feelings, desires more. And the theology of glory looks like it can offer us more again. More feelings, more fun, more money, more growth, more, more, more. Yet if you want more than Jesus, you don't want Jesus. If you want more than forgiveness, then you don't think that you're really a sinner that you confessed you were today. You are in confession of those sins today, and I pray that Jesus is more than enough for you. I know that he is. I pray for you that he is. You see, this is nothing new. In a few days, we will hear a different crowd, no longer shouting hosannas. Then the devil's crowd will be shouting, crucify him. Adam and Eve, who began this awful cycle of being with God and then rejecting God. The apple just doesn't fall far from the tree. The crowd just did what comes naturally to our fallen nature. Because it's natural, it still happens today. We praise God with our hearts, hands, and voices, and then we reject him with our thoughts, words, and deeds. No wonder we need to cry, Hosanna, Lord, save us. And thanks be to God, he does. No longer does Jesus need to ride in on a donkey to come to his people, nor does God hide his face from his people for their sake, as in the Holy of Holies. Now our God comes to us in his word and in baptism, where water and word kills and makes us alive each and every day. Jesus comes to us with and under bread and wine, giving all who rightly believe the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation as they eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. For as we learn in the small catechism, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. For through these means of grace, the believer is pointed to Jesus, to his sacrificial death and glorious resurrection. So may we, like the disciples, remember and understand these things that had been written about him for our good. And let us wait, watch, and pray for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of glory to come. For God has answered our cry, Hosanna. That cry is in a far greater way than we could have ever imagined. For this is most certainly true. For blessed is our Lord Jesus, and all who comes in his name forevermore. May we add our voices to the multitudes always. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.